You're listening to the Body Pros podcast coverage of IAS 2007, the fourth International AIDS Society conference on HIV pathogenesis, treatment, and prevention. Sydney, Australia, July 22nd through July 25th, 2007.
This is Bonnie Goldman, editorial director of the Body Pro. I'm in Sydney, Australia at IAS 2007, and I'm speaking with HIV researchers about what they thought were highlights of this meeting. I have with me now Dr. Mark Kolodny, professor of medicine at Stanford University in California. He will share his thoughts about the meeting's highlights. I know you went to the when to start debate yesterday, or I don't know if it was a debate, it's a session, and I was wondering, what do you think, have you changed your practice about when you start people on therapy, and if so, why?
Well, I haven't changed my practice at this point. I think the guidelines are there, and people, I think, are using those guidelines. I think what was argued yesterday is we need to do a very large study to answer that question if the pendulum is going to go back the other way now. I think in the United States, you know, it's around 350. In Europe and other places, it's around 200 in terms of CD4 counts of where people go. But I think given some of the evidence now that people with HIV infection off treatment, even with higher CD4 counts, have more adverse events and poorer outcome. And so the question is, does HIV treatment mitigate against those bad outcomes that those people are having? The problem, though, is that those studies have to be very big and very long, and the endpoints have to be different. You're not looking for virologic outcome, and you're not looking for the number of people that are going to be dying. So you have to look for other adverse events. And what was being argued for is looking at non-AIDS serious adverse events as a endpoint that could be measured, because people continue to have those all the way along the spectrum of disease.
Such as which ones were you referring to?
Well, things like cardiovascular disease, so heart attacks, kidney problems, diabetes, a variety of medical illnesses that tend to affect HIV-infected patients more than perhaps the natural or the population that's uninfected.
But I guess what's curious about that is a lot of people with HIV are genetically predisposed, or they live a life that predisposes them to diabetes and heart disease. So how do you figure out which is the HIV and which is the, you know, eating too much fat and not exercising?
Yeah, that's a big problem. Part of that, you'll have to leave to the statisticians to determine what variables go into the mix to define whether those patients are at greater risk in the beginning versus at lesser risk after they perhaps started treatment or not. But I think as other types of assays mature, we will be able to predict better who is at risk and potentially even target therapy, I think, a lot better. There were some posters that were presented here looking at pharmacogenomics. So that's actually potentially predicting who may have a better or a worse response to a particular HIV drug or combination of drugs. And so that may be part of the mix, is that you just don't start everybody on the same thing. It's going to be very tailored to a particular regimen based on the underlying genetics that a patient has.
So which assays are you referring to?
There are pharmacogenomic assays that look at variants of various enzymes that we all have in our body. Some of the cytochrome enzymes that we know can be inhibited, like drugs like ritonavir, for instance. People have genetic mutations that can change how the enzyme works. And so some people, for instance, will metabolize those drugs faster. Some people will metabolize those drugs slower. And so that may change if those tests were available, in which they're not yet in the clinic, may change how a doctor thinks about what kind of regimen they put them on. There's other posters here at this conference looking at the question of abacavir hypersensitivity. And there are clearly genetic variants which predispose people to having a hypersensitivity reaction and those that don't. And so if you had a genetic test you could use in the clinic and you found that those people that had that particular genetic variant that made them at greater risk for having a hypersensitivity reaction, you wouldn't give them the drug. So I think that's sort of the next focus of where things will go in the clinic, although we have no studies at this point in time to validate using any of those in the clinic.
And it sounds like it's going to make it amazingly difficult for a practitioner to deal with all these customized treatments.
That's correct. But I think it explains in part why some people have more side effects to efavirenz, for instance, or why some people might fail a protease inhibitor regimen more often than others because of what that person is made up of. And so we have for many years basically been giving the same regimen to a 95-pound woman and a 280-pound man, and she may be white and he may be African-American, and expect that they're going to have the same treatment response. Yet that woman may have different side effects and she may have a very different virologic response than that man. And so once we've now begun to figure out these kind of variants and how they may affect how people metabolize the drug and how it may affect how the virus is impacted by those drugs, I think we're going to have to get to that point. It's like breast cancer. So there are certain markers now that are predictive of utilizing certain drugs versus others for breast cancer therapy, and those are now in clinical practice. So we're going to get there with HIV.
The opinions expressed by hosts or interviewees in this podcast do not constitute professional advice, should not be considered substitutes for professional services, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of Body Health Resources Corporation or its sponsors. Please see the full disclaimer online at thebodypro.com. If you have comments or questions, please contact us.
This has been a report on IAS 2007 from The Body Pro. For more podcasts and full coverage of this conference, visit us online at thebodypro.com/IAS2007.